Hello, friends. While the Gore Girls enjoy discussing and breaking down all of the gore and violence within horror movies, we are not blind to the violence that occurs in the real world. Our hearts go out to the families that lost their children in Uvalde, Texas this week. We also understand that thoughts and prayers do not save lives. We encourage you to contact your local representatives and demand action be taken to end the cycle of gun violence in America. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Gore Girls podcast.
Welcome back to Gore Girls, everybody. I'm Lorelai.
I'm Grace.
I'm Elaine.
I'm Kayla.
And today is our finale to our Mommy Dearest season. It's been a killer time, you know? Wow, that fell flat.
That was funny.
And for that, we are going to be talking about Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Woohoo!
If you don't know it, you need to.
Yeah, you need to get
hit listening to this podcast. Yeah, you need to get it together and go watch Psycho. Mm-hmm. It's a classic. It's a good one. I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah, so am I.
Same. Word.
This is Grace's pick for the month. Grace, would you like to share with us why you chose the movie?
Yeah. So it is my favorite movie. I believe we did a quiz a couple months ago on like what your favorite horror movie is, and mine was between Halloween and Psycho. I picked Halloween. I would like to take that back. And it's Psycho.
Okay.
So shout out to Liz. She was like, I thought it was Psycho. And then I was like, I don't know. And then she was right. Okay. So Liz, I'm sorry.
You know yourself.
Yeah. It's Psycho. Psycho is my favorite. And I love it.
Word.
Everything about it. It's my favorite.
You know, I thought for a really long time that I had seen this movie.
What?
Oh.
Had you not seen this movie?
I had never seen this movie.
No shit. Are you serious? No.
I'm serious. No. I thought I had. And then I was watching. Times. And I was like, there's no way I've seen this before. There's absolutely no way. I've definitely seen the remake with Vince Vaughn.
Uh-huh.
And y'all know how I felt about Vince Vaughn. So.
Oh, yeah, but you're wrong.
I love the remake.
Love
I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm so crazy.
Shook.
Well, I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Welcome to the world.
Yeah. Me too.
That's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
I know.
Thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy girl.
I say that 15 times a day, probably.
I love that sound.
There was like a TikTok of a girl that's like, what's your brain like every day? And she's just doing shit. And she's like, crazy. Crazy girl. And then crazy she's like girl. Cooking. And then she's like, crazy girl. Like she's just like. I was like, that's me.
The Lizzo song has been stuck in my head all week.
Oh,
I've seen a lot of TikToks with that also.
Which I am loving it, but I'm like, all the time, I'm like, about
or the one, I mean, it's starting to get old now, but it's like, yeah, my money don't jiggle. Oh, my gosh.
The videos with it are hilarious.
I really the ones with the really skinny girls without butts. And they have the other version of it. And they're like, bones.
Oh, so funny.
I've just seen it where it's skinny girls doing it with the Lizzo song.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. All right.
We digress.
Yes.
Yeah. When do we not? I mean,
yeah,
I know.
Honestly. Welcome.
Elaine, do you have a great pun you would like to share?
It's an all right pun.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
If you Google psycho puns, there's a lot about communists and red flags.
Oh, interesting.
Instead I have a Alfred Hitchcock pun.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
So it says Hitchcock, Spielberg, Nolan, and Scorsese get into a knife fight. It is the director's cut.
Oh. That's awesome. I like it.
Yeah.
Very cute. Alrighty. Well, if you haven't seen this movie, just don't listen to this episode right now and come back later after you've seen it. Just don't listen to it. Okay.
Just don't listen to it.
And without further ado, I will hand off the mic here to Grace since it's her episode.
Grace.
Here you go. Yeah. The words are not so good with me, so, you know. But I've seen this movie 1,000 times, so at least I got that. You know, yeah. This is the first one. Also, you said, you know, make sure you watch the movie. Ronnie does not listen to the disclaimer, didn't finish Hereditary, and listen to the fucking episode. I was like, well, now we can't.
Listen, what are you fucking doing, dude?
Oh, okay, now we can't watch the movie. And he's like, well, I didn't listen to the whole thing. But I know about all the satanic cult shit. I'm like, well, what the fuck is the point now?
You need context.
Yeah.
We say in the beginning.
He's not allowed to listen to the podcast anymore.
It's like our first rule.
J-J-J.
I know. It's our first rule. It literally is. Idiot. Anyway. So Psycho is about a woman who steals money from her work to get away from her life, and then also a man obsessed with his mother. Plot twist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because they have nothing to do with each other, but somehow. The movie opens with the credits and iconic music. The first scene is in Phoenix, Arizona, Friday, December the 11th, 2:43 p.m., all spelled out. Zooms into a window and we see a man and a woman, Sam and Marion, talking about not wanting to go back to work after presumably doing the nasty, discussing how this will be the last time that they meet in secret. Marion says she wants to get married. Sam does not seem keen on the idea. Marion leaves to go back to work.
Yeah, literally my first note was the iconic score.
Me too.
Yeah.
The iconic.
Mm-hmm. Iconic is the right word.
I think it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
TBH, I mean, it's really good. And I didn't have to mute it.
That actually surprises me.
Because it's kind
yes, I got really close.
Right.
It's a little jarring.
It's a little jarring.
It is jarring. Mm-hmm. Her accent is
so jarring.
You know what's not jarring, though, is Janet Leigh. I just cannot get over how beautiful she is.
I know.
She's so beautiful. Oh, I made that note
several times.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the shot of us going through the open window because it feels kind of Peeping Tom-ish already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really clever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that was very intentional. I love how they did that. Yeah.
Sam is sexy Squidward in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm.
He's pretty cute.
I love that that's just like a normal term for us now. Sexy Squidward.
Sexy Squidward.
So the very specific location and time,
like I know
what is that?
Why
I have reason.
Oh,
he hath risen. That's kind of that. I have reason. So, the time, like the time of day, the 2:40, whatever. I don't know what the fuck that's about, but they chose to place it in December because they were shooting scenes down like that main road in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And there were Christmas decorations up, and they didn't realize that until after shooting. They're like, oh, well, shit, we don't want to reshoot it, so let's just set it for sometime in December.
Gotcha.
So
that's what they
did. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's cool.
That's funny.
It works.
That is clever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the time is so specific.
I know. I love how it's spelled out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why?
It also seemed like quite a bit of Sam's dialogue was like dubbed over is what it looked like to me.
I didn't notice. How funny.
Yeah.
Like the way that his mouth was moving and the way that the words were enunciated. I was like, there's no way that's that was recorded at the same time.
I've never noticed that.
I just love the way they speak in these movies. Yeah. We talked about that with Creature. So and it's just.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the like really intense dramatic smooching and
yes.
all of it. I'm like, yep, I like it.
I like it too.
I like that they have to be in secret because he's had a divorce.
I know.
Yeah.
What kind of life is that? Yeah.
I was trying to like figure out at first because it's been a very long time since I've seen this. And I was like, why do I feel like this is like an affair? But then he's like, no, my ex-wife. Right. And I'm like, so what's happening here? Why do they have to meet up in motels?
He's a divorced man, Kayla.
God forbid.
Like, isn't that the whole point of getting divorced?
That. I know. Right?
You can do that.
I'm a married woman, Phyllis.
Oh, I love when he says, we'll just turn your mama's picture to the wall. I'm like, oh, you're dirty.
You nasty.
You're a dirty man.
Ooh,
she is. That she's going to lick the stamps.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll lick the stamps.
It's just so, like, dramatic. I love it.
I know.
Yeah. Great.
Good shit.
Good shit. Well, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion is back at work. She is checking to see if she made it back before her boss, Mr. Lowry. Her coworker, Caroline, asks if she would like any tranquilizers because she's all out of aspirin, because that's obviously the next choice.
Yeah, as you do.
Naturally. Yeah, obviously. Mr. Lowry and Mr. Cassidy come back from sealing a deal / selling a house, ? Mr. Cassidy talks with Marion about his daughter and all the money he has and hints at maybe buying Marion with the money. He tells Marion about how much he is paying for the house and the money will be safe in the safe over the weekend, but his boss tells her to take the money to the bank right away. Marion leaves work early because of her, quote, headache. We see Marion in her house packing a bag, looking back at the envelope of money. She puts it in her bag and leaves.
Alfred Hitchcock. What?
Start that again.
I don't know what just came over me.
That was great.
Alfred Hitchcock makes a cameo in this scene.
Oh.
So that is him outside in the window.
In the hat.
Oh.
I knew it. I was like, that dude looks like Alfred Hitchcock.
And it was. And he made his appearance really early. That way the audience wouldn't spend their time searching for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that.
I
love that.
Yeah.
Nice. I thought it was him in that little old hat.
Hot
as fresh milk, isn't it?
I was just about to say. What?
What
I made it know. I was
what the fuck?
It's as hot as fresh milk.
Made me gag when he fucking said that.
This man made me gag the whole time. I was like,
ick. First of all, I've never heard that term.
No.
Secondly, what the fuck?
And I don't want to be thinking about that because it probably is hot.
Right, it probably is because it's coming out of a body that's hot.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
So it made me really upset to think about.
I don't like milk. I don't like being hot. I don't want those two things together.
Fresh milk. Yeah, same.
Mm-mm. Super gross.
I just love going from, do you have any Advil, to tranquilizers?
Tranquilizers.
Yeah. What the fuck?
It's like the fly and the fucking teleportation thing. There's no
cameos, what?
There's no
monkey.
Yeah, like there's.
Then
the gradual,
tranquilizer.
And she's like, my husband was mad when he found out I was on tranquilizers during our wedding. And I'm like, bitch, why were you on tranquilizers?
Why were you on tranquilizers?
She just has them in her purse, in her little desk drawer. She's like, oh, I keep a stash.
She's stressed.
I guess.
Because it is hot as fresh milk outside.
It is hot as fresh milk. How is
also,
one to cope?
Mr. Cassidy is Champ Kynes from Anchorman. And the dude that's
100%.
He's
100%.
Oh, the guy that I don't like, the actor I don't
exactly,
like.
Yes.
I had the same thought. I was like, why does this man? He kind of even looks like him a little bit.
Yeah,
I
he
was
does.
Like,
yeah.
Why
off-putting.
Get away from me.
I said, sir, get off my desk. He just sits on our desk and he's being all fucking up. Weird. I'm like, ugh.
No. He's like, so close to her, too. I'm like, personal space.
Men.
And then when he leaves, Caroline is like, oh, he was flirting with you. And I said, oh, sweet baby angel, that was more than just flirting.
That was something else that I don't
know. Like something else. Bad to you. I don't know.
Ew. And I love that she just doesn't say a fucking word to him the whole time.
I love it.
Yeah.
She's like, mm-mm. She's like not feeding into it. Nothing.
Right. Mm-mm. Yeah. He's a fucking weirdo, man. Like, I don't like that dude. He's get off. Go away. Go away.
And then he says, Thirst-a-Rooney. I'm like,
ew. Yeah. What? He has a Rooney at the end of every fucking sentence. Yeah.
Thirst-a-Rooney. Like, are you fucking Ned Flanders? Like, what are you doing?
So, why do we think she takes the money?
Because
Sam was talking about his debt.
Yeah, because his alimony.
He could
run away.
Mm-hmm. So she can pay off the debt.
Because he's a divorced like, man, free. Kayla.
Okay. Wow. I don't know why that just conversation completely escaped my brain while I was watching this.
It's
only briefly mentioned. Because I'm just like, so it's kind of like,
yeah.
Like, why is she doing this?
Mm-hmm.
But
why are you doing that?
What doing?
Stealing 40 G's? Come on.
Can't do
like
that.
Especially back then, like, that's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense. Okay. She did it for love.
So allegedly, the amount of money that Anthony Perkins was paid for this movie is $40,000.
Oh, really?
That's hilarious.
Which is kind of funny.
I wonder if that's true.
That is funny. Yeah. Allegedly.
I did read that on the internet, and the internet never lies.
So. How much, how much did Janet Leigh make? Like $10?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that.
You know?
Probably not enough. You know?
Guaranteed.
Not the same.
Mm-mm. No.
Also, we can't just really talk about how Miss Jamie Lee Curtis dressed up as...
Oh, my God.
I know.
For the... Mm-hmm. Or, like, her mother... As like at the premiere of Halloween, wasn't it?
I know.
Yeah, it was.
God bless.
I love that. Just,
that was amazing.
I love Jamie Lee, and mm-hmm. I was looking up like pictures of her when she was little with Janet Leigh just to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and I think it's funny that that's Jamie Lee is her name because she Curtis. She kept you know.
Yeah,
it's cute.
You know.
I just
I really love Tony Curtis also. He's in Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe. That's my favorite Marilyn movie.
He's so funny.
Hilarious. And he's great. I love
Some Like It Hot. Not me.
That movie's super
not
cute,
me neither. It's so good. Highly recommend.
I love when she's at her house. I just love everything about Janet Leigh and her outfits and her fucking house. And I love how the music starts. Like, suspenseful, and she's back and forth like, I don't know if I should take the money, and then
I love that she's buttoning with one hand. I was like, oh, that's a fucking skill that I need to learn.
Skill.
I'm just very impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
Made me love her even more.
A fun fact, right? So at the beginning of the movie, when she's with Samuel, sexy Squidward man, her bra and slip are white because she's angelic and she's innocent. And then after she steals the money, then she's wearing black. And even her purse is black after.
Because now she's the bitch of the devil.
Now she's
the fucking bitch of the
Satan's
devil.
Satan's concubine.
Mm-hmm. She's the bad girl.
Bad
girl.
And she can't forget her slippies. She packs her slippies.
Mm-hmm. I like when they do little details like that in movies.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last note I had was, where the fuck you going?
Where the fuck you going?
For the scene.
That's kind of what I was referring to. I'm like, what is your plan?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was lost. Not lost, but I was just like, what the fuck's happening here? Why are you doing this? Because I just completely missed the fucking debt thing.
Right.
Oh.
But I am confused. Like, does Sam not live in the same place? Is that why she was driving far away?
Yeah, no. He's in LA.
Okay. Yeah.
He just flies in for like business trips, isn't that what he said? Something like that.
Okay.
Doing it trips.
Marion is driving and is hearing her boss's voice. She then sees him walking across the street and the intense music starts. She is driving for so long that she falls asleep and is now on the side of the road. It is morning and an officer stops to check on her. He asks for her ID. She is very annoyed, very casually turns her back to the officer and shoves the money in her purse. He hands her back her ID with no words exchanged and she drives away. The officer is still following her until He just isn't. Marion is now at a car dealership. She is reading a newspaper, and the same officer spots her from across the street. She is wanting to trade her car in for another. She notices the officer watching her. We see Marion in the bathroom counting out her money to give to the salesman. In what might be the quickest sale of a car ever, Marion speeds off with her new-to-her car.
Literally, quickest ever.
Here's money, bye. I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I gotta go, bye. Here's some money. $700 for that fucking car.
I know, it's amazing.
$700. Just...
And, like, no whatever. Paperwork, no, like...
No.
They all have plates over and on them. I'm like, yeah. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Oopsies, being seen by her boss.
I know.
I guess good thing she was.
I know.
Not that
his fucking face when he looks at her, I'm like, oh,
and he just is like,
dang it. Yeah. How's your head?
You a lying ass hoe.
I saw that the cinematography is pretty fantastic for it being so old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Definitely. Like the rear view mirror shots were actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like how she's just like asleep.
Yeah. Inside of the room. Well, like when the cop is like questioning her, she just starts her car. Like she's just going to drive off. Like
she's like, okay, we're done.
What?
Here.
That's not how that works.
And she's so, her eyes are like bugging out of her head. Mm-hmm, and she just like shoves the money in her purse and then is like, turns around.
Yeah, she totally turns her back to the cop. Any other,
I know.
Any cop would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
My girlfriend, you could not be acting.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. You couldn't be acting more suspicious.
No. No way. Her eyes, like, she doesn't blink. Her eyes are large.
I wish that this specific police officer was a little bit more important to the whole story.
Yeah,
he never comes back again.
He never comes back, and we spend like 20 minutes with him, basically. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like they put so much significance on him following her, and then it like just doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah. It's odd.
It's a little weird.
Also, the set when they have her pulled over,
It
was like in Frankenstein. Like you could see like that part of it was like either a painted background or like a screen. It was funny. It was funny.
Yeah.
I like that she tells the cop he needs to hurry up because she has taking up her time.
Places to be. So
the audacity.
The audacity. You could never.
The privilege, perhaps.
Yeah.
For sure.
Privilege for sure.
When she keeps like checking her rearview mirror though, when he's behind her, all like anxious. That's literally me anytime a cop is behind me. Even though I haven't done a single goddamn thing wrong. I'm like and I'm like sweating bullets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh fuck. Oh my god. Like What? It's so dumb.
I know you always think like, oh my god, have I been charged with like a heinous crime? And there's like,
there's
a warrant out for my arrest. And
What if I had jury duty and I didn't realize it, and now I'm arrested?
Again, we're white, so we're probably fine.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do feel like I get nervous as well.
Yeah.
I like when she goes. Well, I hate, obviously, but when she goes to the dealership and the man says. Is asking her about the car, and he says, well, do you have anything in mind? And he says, well, being a woman, you would.
I know.
Well, you bet I do.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, and he just keeps, like, I don't know. I mean, he's a fucking salesman. He's right. Like, why are you arguing with her so much? Mm-hmm. Just let her take the fucking car. She doesn't want to drive it. Just let her have it.
Probably is a little suspicious, though, because everyone wants to get the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, don't care, just give me the first the first thing I see.
And well, the like, first customer of the day is the most difficult.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, I hate it when people talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're trying to be funny, but like they're not being funny. So I'm like, okay, well, this is weird now.
I know, and I'm not gonna laugh at the things you're saying.
No,
like you're not funny.
I might laugh out of uncomfortability.
Cop too, like again, I wish we would have seen more, like I wish he would have pursued her a little bit more,
right,
because he sees her and he's like, what the fuck is she doing now, like buying a car, and watches her for a bit and then he pulls into the dealership.
I know,
and she just fucking like drives off. I'm like, you
like his gut was correct, like she was definitely up to no good and he just like didn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
So weird.
Should we move on then, or no? Is everyone done? What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm good.
Okay, cool. Marion is driving again, and there are now voices of the car salesman and the officer discussing Marion and the sale of her car. We also hear Caroline and Mr. Lowry wondering where Marion is. Mr. Lowry then remembers all the cash that she left with. It is suddenly raining like a damn hurricane. Marion sees the motel and decides to pull in. She is at the front office, but no one is there. She sees someone walking in the house up the hill from the motel, so thinks it's best to honk her horn to get their attention. We see a man, Norman Bates, come down to help her. While she is checking out a room, she signs the guest book with the name Marie Samuels and says she is from Los Angeles. Norman gives her a key to room one. Norman helps her into her room, but before he leaves, he invites her to dinner at his house. Norman leaves, and we see Marion looking for a very long time on where to hide the money. She ends up just wrapping it in newspaper. Marion hears Norman and mother fighting inside their house. We get a glimpse of the relationship between Norman and his mother. Mother says she is not happy about him inviting Marion in to dinner, hinting that Marion is some sort of sex worker. Sex worker. That's what she says, right?
Yep. Something like that.
Yeah.
She's definitely heavily implying that.
Well, yeah.
I have a note. Someone must have said it, but I don't remember in what context.
Okay.
The Music Makers Music Store?
Yeah, that's where Caroline works. Not Caroline.
Her sister.
Lila.
Lila. The Music Makers Music Store.
I know.
That was just funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
I really love how they do the dialogue with everybody in her life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like her thought process on the whole thing. I do like that. Mm-hmm. Because that's totally how I would be. Like, I mm-hmm. always imagine, like,
oh, yeah,
conversations and, like, how mm-hmm. something will go. And, yeah.
Accurate. Especially yep. when you're driving.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that she's, like, sort of smiling when she thinks. She starts smiling a little bit. She gets a little smirky. She's like, okay, I might get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You but think?
She's still, like, anxious. Like, you definitely feel mm-hmm. her anxiety. They do a really good job with it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think one of them, I think it's either the gross man or her boss. He says mm-hmm. hot creepers. Like, what are these terms?
Hot creepers.
Hot creepers. What does that fucking mean?
Oh, what do you mean by that? And then that guy says that she was flirting with him?
Yes. Yeah, like, I made a note of that.
Like, I didn't think so. Once again, men misinterpreting.
Like, she literally didn't even speak.
She didn't say a single word.
I know. I thought it was really funny.
She's just flirting. She's a trifling hoe.
Trifling. The fucking rain out of nowhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, it's so much rain.
It stresses me the fuck out.
I know. I got kind of stressed too because I don't see well at night as it is when I'm driving.
Right, same.
And then let alone in the rain. Can't see anything.
And then just Bates Motel.
Yeah.
Damn.
I just love the character of Norman.
Me too.
He is so... And the actor that plays him, but yes. It's so awkward mm-hmm. and just so perfect. And seriously, the actor that plays Norman in Bates Motel,
mm-hmm.
I just fucking love this movie.
You guys,
it's just amazing.
When it shows Miss Bates like silhouette in the window, mm-hmm. I just said that ain't no woman,
or it's her bod,
or it's chilling. A dead woman.
Yeah,
either or.
Her corpse.
Not good. Little does she know.
I love that house too.
Mm. Oh my God.
It reminds me a lot of the house that you drew, Lorelai, for our New Beginnings season.
Yes.
Even with the silhouette in it.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm skinned. Oh God. Those old Victorian Gothic homes. Oh shit.
Yes.
That's what dreams are made of right there.
He's weird about the bathroom when mm-hmm. he shows her the room.
Mm-hmm.
He like can't. He's weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's very awkward.
He goes, I don't know. Yeah,
probably because he knows he's also been watching her.
Right. And he's so nice too, though. Like, he does not, like, he seems completely harmless. And that's kind of what, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. It reminds me of, like, real psychopaths.
Yep.
Like, Ted Bundy and shit. Like, oh, they're mm-hmm. handsome and they're nice and whatever. Because, like, he's a good-looking dude.
I was going to say, Norman's a cutie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's a fucking psycho.
Yeah. Oof.
Scary. A psychopath. Scary, scary.
I take it as he is, like, embarrassed to show her the bathroom. Like,
yeah. He's, like, it's kind of, like, mother, childish.
Because, yes, because mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just, that's how I took it.
Yes.
I can see that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely tries very hard to be, like, normal and kind, even though
mm-hmm.
it's not yeah. what he is.
And, you know, sandwiches and milk for dinner, that sounds really good.
Oh,
and so very delicious. Childlike again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what you would give a toddler.
Well, you know, we all know this. Everybody knows this, but it is a masterpiece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Like, the dialogue is mm-hmm. so good, and everything besides the one thing that we talked about with the police officer not really being involved, everything mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
It all has a purpose.
It all connects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I keep talking about the show, but in the show, they do such a good job of, like, going more into when he's, like, childlike and then when mm-hmm. he's psycho, like his split personality mm-hmm. thing. And it's so goddamn, I could have a whole podcast on that goddamn show.
Do it. Well, I'll watch it and then we'll start a second podcast.
Okay, great. Because we have so much time. I love when he's talking to mother in the house and she's like, and then what's after dinner? Whispers, as if men don't desire strangers.
Well, and I love that she's like hearing all of this and the house is like
so far away.
Yards away.
Screaming?
Yeah. Like through an open window and she's just hearing all of it clearly. Like mm-hmm. it's kind of funny. My only other note was that I like that she ends up hiding the money inside the newspaper, just mm-hmm. like in plain sight.
Yes.
I don't know. It's clever. And I like
it. It is clever.
Yeah.
I also like all the sounds. Every time she touches the envelope, I'm like, turn up the volume.
Mm-hmm. That like soft paper.
Crinkle.
Smush.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny how older movies, even like in the 80s, they have a paper bag and it makes so much noise.
Yes.
It is interesting.
Everything makes mm-hmm. so much noise in movies. The walking and the
but not rain. Now. Not
but
anymore.
Less now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I know this. I feel like it was a video I watched, like a TikTok or but it was the special effects guy, like a sound effect guy.
The Foley guy?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what they're called.
A lot of.
Sure. Yeah, I don't
sound
know.
Effect guys because it's so exciting.
But he was saying in movies when they bring in groceries in like a paper bag, paper mm-hmm. bags are really noisy like we're talking about. And so now mm-hmm. they use like these like plastic rubbery paper paper bags that don't make any noise when you like pull things out of them.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah, it was cool.
The way that they do sound effects and stuff is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like. It's
I love watching those videos.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're really awesome.
Norman is now at Marion's room with a plate of food. She invites him to her room. He seems hesitant, so they eat in the hotel office. He tells her she eats like a bird and makes things super awkward, and then goes on to tell her he does taxidermy. We also find out that Norman's entire life is his mother. He also asks where she is going. Marion avoids the answer. She basically tells Norman that the way his mother talks to him is wrong. He talks some more about his life and Marion suggests putting her, quote, someplace, and Norman gets very defensive and a little angry. Marion says she is going back to her room and that she has to leave very early. Norman says he is going to bring her food in the morning. They say goodnight. He asks for her name again. Marion says, Mrs. Crane. Looking down at the guest book, Norman notices she put her last name as Samuels. Norman is back in the office. He takes a picture off the wall and can see directly into her room. Like a creep, he watches her get undressed. Norman walks back to his house.
a boy's best friend is his mother.
I said red flag.
Yeah, red flag. No, what are we doing?
It's good to love your mother and be close to your mother, but your you should have friends.
Yeah.
Yes. I like how she does not know you will not come in my room. Like, with even though he made her food, no, you will not go in my room.
Yep.
Like, she's no.
Let's go somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bye.
When he says my mother isn't quite herself today, I'm like, she never.
So you're not.
I don't like how he tells her she's like a bird.
It reminded me of The Office when I forget who it is, when they say that Angela eats like a squirrel.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Oscar?
I don't know. Something. But it reminded me of that. I was like, eat like a bird.
Like, when anybody comments on the way anyone eats.
No,
me like either. To them while they're eating. Like, why are you making them self-conscious? Stop it.
There are quite a few references to birds in this movie, and the birds happen to be his next movie.
Yes.
But I want to know why.
Why birds?
Other than maybe the fact that that was going to be his next movie. I don't know if he knew that already, Alfred Hitchcock, but
maybe.
Mm-hmm. There are even times when, and I made a note of it later, when Norman resembles a bird.
When? At what point?
It's later. I think it's when Arbogast comes to check some stuff out, and he's like showing Norman something, and Norman kind of is looking at it. He's around. Looks like he's peeking like a bird. And when he's always snacking on the candy out of the bag, I don't know. It's just like he's very bird-like.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I don't know.
Yeah.
It says birds are a prominent motif in Albert Hitchcock's suspense horror film Psycho. Hitchcock uses these birds as artfully foreshadowing event to reveal a deeper truth about characters.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a whole article about why there's so many birds.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
If I Googled it, I'd have answered my own damn question.
I said, why are there so many bird references in Psycho?
His whole taxidermy thing just is like kind of revealing of his mom's true state, right? Like,
right.
Mm-hmm.
She's taxidermied as well as she could have been, I guess.
Sort of.
Yeah. Preserved to the best of his abilities.
Yeah.
He's yucky.
My hobby's stuffing things. And he said that's what
I said that too. I have the same note.
You guys, that's
I know. We're horrible.
Ew.
That's what she said.
Okay, you guys.
Okay.
This is really crazy. It says there's a lot of movies before Psycho that did this with birds, but it says the bird motif is introduced from the start of the film, literally. The very first shot of the film establishes the location of where we start the story, as in Phoenix, Arizona. Additionally, because in Greek mythology, a phoenix is a mythical bird that burns into the ashes when it dies, but it is reborn from the ashes anew. Phoenix, if the first of many associations with the film, creates between birds and death. Birds are further linked to death through the barren and desolate landscape of Phoenix that is evident in the first shot of the film. The bulk of bird imagery in the film occurs at the Bates Motel, and the scene with the most avian imagery is the parlor scene between Norman and Marion. The scene takes place in Norman's parlor, where there are numerous taxidermy birds and Norman has stuffed.
Yeah.
Norman explains that taxidermy is his hobby. And the birds itself are an allusion to death. There is a lot of zoomorphism in the film, exclusively involving birds. The most obvious and important one, when Norman's mother, being repeatedly symbolized as a menacing taxiderming owl. I wonder if that's when he looks like a bird.
No, there's a big taxidermy owl behind him.
Yeah, there's a scene of it right here.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart a little bit when they're talking about like their traps. And he was like, I was born into mine. It's like, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Poor kid.
Really yucky when he does say a son is a poor substitute for a lover.
For a lover.
Super yucky.
Yeah.
Made me really uncomfy.
But then he says, we all get a little mad sometimes. Yeah, it's a freaking line.
Okay, Billy. So good. I love all those references.
Me too.
Specific to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he like flips and gets so defensive when she talks about putting her someplace. An institution? Goes, oh, sorry. A madhouse? Like,
so do you suppose he was going to kill her before that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what she had said there?
I think so, just based off of the conversation at the end that the psychiatrist has with Lila about
multiple women.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if he has any thoughts, like, sexually about a woman, then
he's just going for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just creeping on her when she's getting undressed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't like that at all.
Uh-uh. When they were shooting that, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but I had found how they did it. They just cut out a lens with a circle cut out and put it in front of the camera.
Oh, cool.
To make it like a peephole.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Easy. Yeah.
Super easy.
It's easy.
It's kind of a significant hole. Like, don't you think she'd fucking see that in the wall?
Oh, like, come significant on, right? Hole.
Hi, I know. This is also
that was worded poorly.
This is also your PSA to check your hotel rooms and Airbnbs for holes and lights.
For significant holes.
And two-way mirrors. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
There'll be hidden cameras all over, everywhere. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Serious scary. PSA.
It just reminds me of Vacancy.
Never seen it.
That's a fucked up movie, good. Elaine. It's so good.
It's good.
Highly recommend.
Ooh, when will we cover that one?
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh.
But I do, oh my God. I do love the way their conversation, like how the dialogue was written.
Oh,
it's
amazing.
Just very well written.
Yeah.
And acted.
The dialogue.
It's not,
well,
that's kind of like the dialogue throughout the whole movie. It's not dull. Like, no, you're not just like, oh, Jesus Christ, let's get on with it. Like, you're not bored the whole time. Like, you're actually invested in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of tricky with older movies. So
especially like in Creature Walks Among Us, they're in the fucking boat looking for the creature for so long, I feel like. Yeah. You know, like, okay.
Like, let's
I don't
get on
feel
with it
that
here.
Way in this movie. Yeah.
Mm-mm. I just realized, though, because I had a note about how she wrote down, like, an alias as Marie Samuels or whatever. Her fucking last name is Crane.
Oh.
That's
you
a
just
bird.
Like a bird. That?
Yep.
No, I knew her last name was Crane, but I'm now connecting it back to the bird thing.
To a bird. Yeah, I see that. I never noticed
that
either.
Interesting.
There's just birds all over the fucking place.
Mm-hmm. Birds all over the place. I'm telling you.
Birds.
Might as well just name this one Birds.
Guys, I love birds.
I'm not the biggest fan.
Oh, like, I don't I love birds.
I'm not afraid of them, but they're just not my fave. I like crows.
Crows are cool.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Cranes are cool. Flamingos are cool.
Oh, I hate flamingos.
Guys, I learned something funny.
What's that?
Did you know that a group of ravens is called an unkindness. Nope. That is crows. Sure, the murder of crows. Ravens is an unkindness or conspiracy.
Oh, I like conspiracy. Unkindness, that's kind of dumb.
It's kind
there's
of
an
crazy.
Unkindness of ravens.
Isn't that interesting?
It's a little too long.
That is interesting.
Yeah. I'm ready for the next scene though.
Marion is in her room counting her money. She flushes paper down the toilet because why not? She is then in the shower leaning so far away so she doesn't get her face wet, but then just does get her face wet. We see the door open through the shower curtain and this person is now, quote, stabbing Marion, leaving her for dead. Reaching for the shower curtain to try and pull herself up, she fails and falls over the edge. We see the smallest trickle of blood get washed down the drain. The camera is now on her eye and then pans out to the money on the nightstand, and we hear Norman yelling, blood, blood.
That was a great imitation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
It was Norman as his mother, so.
Good job.
Always thank well, you. Oh.
It wasn't as his mother.
Right. That was Norman.
He was yelling, blood, blood. Yeah. He was talking to his mother.
Right.
Oh, like, yeah. He was talking to his mother. Yeah.
Yes.
People that can just get in the shower and then turn the fucking water on.
Oh no, psychopaths.
Thank you. I had the same note. I was like, who is not turning on their water to warm up first?
Because I just don't understand. Like, so far away, her face is so far away from the water. Like,
and then she's just like, okay. And she's like smiling. She's so happy to be like covered in this water.
In the shower.
Who's smiling in the shower? In the shower. But
yeah.
It doesn't matter how far you turn that knob, like if it's all the way on hot, the water's going to be cold when it first comes out. Like,
immediately hot.
No.
Psychopath shit.
Also, I'm really weird about showers. I don't know if Elaine and Grace know this. They really gross me out. Even my own, even if it's clean. Oh. Like, if Zach has taken a shower, I cannot shower in that shower for like 8 hours.
And then
when I do, I let it run on the hottest fucking setting for like 5 minutes. I don't want any hair. I don't want any soap. I don't want any schmegma.
No cold water.
I won't touch the walls. I don't let the curtain touch me. I stand like this in the shower.
This is your thing?
Yeah. I hate showers.
How interesting.
I will never use a public one.
No.
What if you're in a hotel?
In a hotel.
I have to be the very first person to use that shower.
Oh,
like,
that's
when we were growing up, she always had to shower before me, and I was just like, oh my fucking God, dude. Go, I guess. I need a shower too. Go. Get.
I love this about you.
Yeah,
I
hate
this. What a little quirky. You're so quirky and different.
Oh, I know. Zach fucking hates it.
Anyway.
It's a good laugh.
I do have a note. I have a fun fact.
Ooh.
Okay. This is probably the most known fun fact about this movie, but it was the first American film to ever show a toilet flushing on screen.
Yes. I did know that, actually.
I didn't know that.
Insane?
What?
God.
Yes.
That's very weird.
And Alfred Hitchcock knew it was going to be an issue, but he wanted to do it. So that's why they made an intentional act for Marion she thinks about throwing away the paper, but then she says, no, I got to flush it. I got to totally get rid of it.
Right.
So then she flushes it. So that way, when it got to like the screening or whatever, the guys who say whether or not you can put stuff in a movie, they had to keep it in because it was influential.
Significant.
Significant to the story.
Wow. Why is it like going to be an issue? Like, it's just a toilet.
Yeah, why were they against it?
It's a toilet because nobody uses the toilet.
He's a divorced man, Kayla.
They have such delicate sensibilities.
So scandalous. The toilet. Yes.
So scandalous.
Yes.
Lorelai, do you have like how they shot the shower scene? Because it looks fucking gigantic. When I show her against the curtain, I'm like, why does this shower look so gigantic?
The knife is like placed on her.
I know.
I don't have anything for like the stabbing or like how big the shower appears, but I have how like they shot the shower head and the water coming out of it. Mm. So I could tell you guys about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to get it like straight on how they did, the camera had like a hella long lens on it. And then the inner holes of the shower head were blocked and the camera placed a sufficient distance away so that the water, while appearing to be aimed directly at the lens, actually went past the lens.
Hmm. Oh, and interesting.
Then, yeah, so they had only certain holes with water and then...
Yeah, interesting.
Right. Huh. That's cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't directly underneath the water, obviously.
Where'd they get all that blood?
Like right? Fuck. I couldn't find anything about the blood.
The gallon?
Just a vial?
Oh, I did.
Just one little drop. Just one little droplet.
I know about the blood.
Oh, tell us about the blood.
It was chocolate syrup.
I thought it was kind of chunky at one point. Like, there's a part where it looks like thick and clotty. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's
clot. So that's...
Ew. I also read that it took... Let me find my notes really quickly.
Where did you find that, Elaine?
I think it was on Amazon because I rented it.
The interwebs.
Mm.
And Amazon has like the little x-ray facts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw it. It required 78 shot setups and took 7 days to film.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh, I did see that, but I thought that I saw you had that in your notes, so I didn't include that in mine. Maybe I misread something in yours.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah. 78 shots.
Yeah, I don't understand. I found that too, and I was like, what the fuck? This is like the shortest scene. Why did it take?
Like, it's a pretty basic scene.
But, I mean, whatever they did made it one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable horror movie scene ever, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Janet Leigh also said she wasn't bothered by filming the shower scene, but she later remarked that it made her realize how vulnerable women are in the shower, and for the rest of her life, she allegedly always took baths.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Not sure if that's true. That's on the internet.
She's not wrong.
It's true.
Pretty vulnerable. I always felt quite
vulnerable in the shower.
Yeah. Same. Same. If I'm home alone, I never listen to music.
No.
In the shower.
You gotta be able to hear everything.
I gotta hear. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I put my red thing in the door. Want to take a shower when I'm home alone.
Oh,
oh yeah.
So nobody can get in.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
That's smart.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Jamie, behind you.
Behind you.
Yep.
And when it zooms in on her face or whatever, you can see her breathing.
I was impressed that she didn't blink that entire time. It made me want to
cool
blink.
It's a cool shot, though.
It is.
It is. And like the tear, you know, and like the water, like it's cool.
Yeah.
It is cool.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably when it came out, at least, for the main character to die within, you know, 40 minutes of the movie. Like, that's crazy. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is maybe another thing that Scream took. Right. Guaranteed. I mean, we remember that it was Drew Barrymore's idea or whatever, but
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love
groundbreaking.
Though, yeah. And I love that when she after she gets stabbed, you see her hand kind of like drag on the tile in the shower curtain, and like she pulls it down and she's not dead right away. Like I feel like,
cuz you wouldn't,
especially
be dead
in
right
old
away.
Movies, you just they're just dead just right dead. Away. There's no, you know, bleeding out, none of that. So I like that it's a little more drawn out.
Right.
I have another fun fact. When Norman realizes that there's been a murder and he's speaking to his mom and he calls out, "Mother, go, God, blood, blood,
blood."
Apparently, Alfred Hitchcock had the bass frequencies removed from his voice to make him sound like a frightened teenager.
Oh. I like that.
How do you even do that?
Unsure.
Especially back then.
That right.
Impressive.
Unsure.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
Cheeks.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Going back to the more child aspect of him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
I just said he has a knack for changing really quickly.
Yes.
He does. He's a quick change artist.
Maybe he's like Superman. Like he just keeps like...
keeps it on underneath.
His Norman clothes underneath his mom clothes.
He probably does.
That's funny. That's all I got.
I did forget to mention, though, the fucking score right here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the most, the most iconic fucking score. Yeah.
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 Like, it's even if you haven't seen Psycho,
You
know what it's from. You know, like, you know that that's a Psycho thing.
Yeah.
Charlotte, when I was watching this, she was like, "I heard that you were watching Psycho last night." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "I just heard
See? Like, everybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's so many, like, other movie references to it and, like, just pop culture references. Like, yeah, it's great.
So many.
I love it.
It's a classic for a reason.
Do they use any of that score in the show? Like,
no.
Is the score familiar at all?
It's been forever since I watched it. Like, when it came out. No.
That would have been
I'm watching it right now.
Inclusion.
That would have been.
I wonder if... So, Marion's character isn't in yet. So, I wonder if they do when she arrives or something. Oh. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I'll
chat.
Keep you updated.
Yeah, Kate, let me know.
Right.
Do you guys that know who plays Marion in the show?
No.
No.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rihanna.
Oh,
Rihanna!
That.
Oh,
yeah.
She ever acted
so
before? Is this like her?
Yeah, she's in terrible movies, but yeah,
she's in like a couple. She was in one with Childish Gambino.
Oh, I love him.
But yeah.
I love her. She's
only in it for like two episodes.
Right, because Mary Lurch dies.
But yeah. Pretty brief.
yeah. Wow, I love that.
Yeah, that's I love her so much.
Oh, well, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, I am ready.
So yeah. I'll move on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Norman runs to her room, seeing what has been done. He is in shock. He leaves the room and comes back with a mop, finally turning off the shower water. He starts cleaning up the, quote, mess. Norman then takes Marion's body and puts it in the trunk of his car. He is driving away, then pushes her car into a swamp, lake, small body of water. Sam Loomis is writing. Then a woman walks into the store and introduces herself as Marion's sister, Lila. A man, very nonchalantly overhearing their conversation, walks into the store, also wanting to talk to Marion. The man introduces himself as Private Investigator Arbogast, saying that she might have stolen $40,000. The detective is seen going door to door, looking for her, and then pulls up to Bates Motel. Arbogast tells Norman he is looking for Marion. Catching Norman in a lie about potential guests, he asks to look at the guest book. Norman suddenly, quote, remembers the whole encounter with Marion. The investigator then asks to see all the rooms. Norman hesitates, skipping over the room she was staying in, room one. Arbogast sees the house and asks if anyone is home. Norman says no. The investigator does not believe Norman and wants to speak to his mother.
I love the way he acts in this scene with his like shaking, like it's he shock. Right, like he really is in shock.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. it plays into his split personalities, because that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. People that have them don't necessarily know, you know what I mean? It's kind of like
they don't know what happens,
right? Like they black out. Right,
right. It's mm-hmm. a blackout, right?
So I do like how I like how genuine his reaction is, mm-hmm. but he's also like very methodical in cleaning up this crime scene.
Yes,
it shows he knows what he's doing. He's this is the first time he's done it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I said the way he is mopping is giving me the most anxiety.
Oh my god.
Okay,
it is so haphazard.
This was my mm-hmm. thought: is when was the sponge mop invented? You know what I mean? Because the ropey mops just seem so
filthy.
Filthy and mm-hmm. counterproductive.
Effective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Also, there was like 1% of her body or her blood in her body came out.
Right.
Is a mop necessary? So a paper towel. You know, paper towel. A rag, your shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just the shower head, you know, just turn it, kind of spray it down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about the car in the swampy area? Like, was that an actual vehicle?
Mm.
Or was it a miniature?
I don't think it was a miniature because I didn't read anything on that.
Hmm.
Usually they get really excited about the miniatures in the movies, and it's very easy to find out about. Yeah. So
it's because miniatures are amazing.
Yeah, they are. The swamp, whatever, though, that's the Eek. Thickest water I've ever mm-hmm. seen. Like, why like is mud. It so thick?
I love when he is like, it's not going to go in the water, and he looks around all panic, and then it does go. It's just mm-hmm. like a little comedy. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he's chewing his nails.
But again, is this daytime? Is this nighttime? Is this
nighttime? This is very nighttime. Clearly shot during the day.
Very clearly shot during the day.
Oh.
But like, they're trying to make
it's
it
It's trying night, to be nighttime.
Night, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, like, there's like a tint on I the camera or something.
Nighttime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did. Is it so clearly daytime?
It's kind of. Yeah. It's just the way they did that in old movies is
it's
weird.
It's so funny. Yeah.
It's just like a darker tint almost for nighttime.
Yes, like a tint.
Yeah. I said that the sinkhole thing was like the bog of eternal stench.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I thought it gross. Was like the descent pool.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yuck. Ew.
Oh. Icky. What is this bitch going on about bug spray for?
Oh my god. What the fuck? The fucking bug repellent.
This was... yeah.
This was the only part of the movie that I was just kind of like, can we...
Yeah. Me too.
Mm-hmm. We get on with it.
Like, this mm-hmm. was
oh my god.
For a brief moment, I was like, okay, I'm a little bit bored. But then mm-hmm. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I forgot, Sam is writing a letter to Marion, and it says that he doesn't care if they are poor or how small their house is, that at least they will still have each other.
He's so aww. Sweet.
It's so sad.
It's really sad.
Also, Arbogast.
Arbogast.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Arbogast. That's
quite the name.
What name is that?
It is the name.
Well, Arby.
Arbogast.
Well, is that his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, what?
Oh, that's his last.
Yeah.
Duh. Duh.
Well, I wasn't sure because he was just introduced as Arbogast, not yeah. Mr. Arbogast. Arbogast. He says, I'm right. Arbogast. So I was like, is that your fucking name?
I think he says, like,
sounds like something that'd be in, like, Harry Potter.
It does.
Arbogast. Yeah.
I said he throws around the word friend a lot.
Friend.
Yeah. I know, he's kind of annoying in this first scene.
Mm-hmm. He's just a douche.
Right.
His face, I want to punch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, and the camera, when he first walks to the door, the camera is right up in this dude's fucking grill. Yeah. We're like zoomed mm-hmm. in on his nose. I'm like, what is with the camera work here? It's so weird. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it though, is that the one where it's like on his jaw?
And it's yeah.
like up his chin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just right up in his face.
Yeah. Oh my god, I typed Norman, but it auto-corrected to normals.
Of course.
I said I love the investigator is looking for the guest book. I love that this angle of normals jawline.
Normals. Yeah, he does have a smacking jawline. And mm-hmm, this is when mm-hmm. he looks like a Burke to me.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. He's like pecking around like a fucking bird. And I love his reaction when Arbogast asks him to look at the picture. He won't look at it mm-hmm. at first, and then he gets all shaky and nervous mm-hmm. and starts stuttering. Like, the acting mm-hmm. is
that's exactly yeah
it's so believable.
It's so good, especially for the time.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I was just gonna say, this dude Arbogast is being like way too fucking nice to yeah. someone who is acting so goddamn suspicious. Right. Like, yeah. he could not be acting more sus and stressed out right now.
No.
And he's like, oh, no, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. I'm like, what mm-hmm. the fuck are you doing?
Like, do you have any instinct at all, my dude? But what did anyone notice? It happened several times in this movie that people don't use their driver's side fucking door.
Yeah.
They have the same
oh, I didn't notice.
They slide. Scoot.
Yeah, they scoot in or out of the passenger side. I'm like, what are you doing?
How funny.
I'm like,
so weird.
What doing?
What doing? I never noticed.
Like,
was that like a societal norm?
Marion does it when she gets to the motel, which kind of makes sense because it was raining, so then she was closer to the door. But Arbogast mm-hmm. does it fucking twice. I was
how
like,
funny. I've never noticed.
What are you doing?
And Norman does it when he gets to the car. Well, I think that
Norman does it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
So weird.
Well, they didn't have those center consoles.
Right. It was like a bench seat. But like...
But why would you just...
It's still yeah. more work. Like, just go to the yeah. driver's side.
You're going to wear yep. out that driver's side door.
Not the way those cars are built, man. They'll last forever.
I know.
I like the building of the tension, though, when he really wants to go speak to Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman's just like, nope. You like, you can't talk
I love
to her.
How he's nope. just like, oh, I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Norman's like, I think you better go now. And he's like, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to just leave now.
And then his smile when he drives off.
He doesn't look at any so of the rooms yeah. either. He just,
I love his creepy ass smile. So good.
He's a creepy dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He is. He plays a creep real well.
But also like cute and charming. And,
right. Yeah.
But right, he's so cute. Yeah.
Turns it on and off, like yeah. all those psychos do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else in my
me
notes.
Neither.
Arbogast is at a payphone discussing what happened with Norman and how he doesn't really believe him and that he's going to go back to the motel and will call back in about an hour. Back at the motel, Arbogast is looking for Norman. He decides to go to the house. He just walks right in, goes right up the stairs, and we see someone coming towards Arbogast and they stab him quickly with a very dramatic fall down the stairs. He has been stabbed a few more times and is dead. We are now back with Sam and Lila, and she notices it has been longer than an hour and he still hasn't called. Lila wants to go to the motel, but Sam tells her to stay there and he will go check things out. He is now at the motel yelling for Arbogast, and Norman hears him. Sam returns to Lila with no information. They decide to go to the sheriff's house to maybe get some help. The sheriff is completely useless and he thinks Marion either ran away or the private investigator ran away with the money. The sheriff calls Norman and says he never saw Arbogast after he left the first time. The sheriff then tells Lila that Arbogast didn't question Norman's mother because she has been dead for 10 years. Sam is certain he saw a woman in the window, and Lila recalls Arbogast saying he saw her as well. The sheriff says very dramatically, "Well, if that woman up there is Miss Bates, who is that woman buried out in Greenlawn Cemetery?" Norman is at the house and is talking to his mother, asking her to hide against her will, and carries her out of the room.
When he gets back after he calls them and he's like searching and he goes into the office and he sees the taxidermy and the safe on the floor. Mm-hmm. Who leaves their safe open? It's open.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It is weird.
I don't know. It's just odd.
I feel like maybe that makes him feel suspicious, like
Someone left in a hurry or something.
He took the money. Mm. Probably. He probably got the money from Marion. Yeah. He was leaving in a hurry. Oh, now that the detective was gone, he's going to run. Like, I don't know.
That kind of makes sense.
Kind of the thought process.
Maybe it was done on purpose then to like lead him in that direction.
Maybe.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And he just waltzes right in.
Yeah, he does.
Just go right in.
Who does that?
I made note of the score when he... when Arbogast is walking to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
It's very good.
Mm. I read a fact.
Honestly, throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
True.
Love the scene of him falling down the stairs, you guys.
Dude.
Oh my gosh. Let me really quickly. Mm-hmm. I read a fact that Alfred Hitchcock was sick during the scene where they film Arbogast going upstairs, I think it was. I can't remember if it was Arbogast. No, I didn't write it down because I was like, no, I'm not going to talk about it. But I think it was this one. They filmed it without him there. He like trusted a certain group of people to do it. And then when he came back, he watched it and he was like, okay, like that's pretty good. Thanks so much. But he had to reshoot it because he thought it looked like Arbogast was going upstairs to kill somebody.
Oh.
Instead of being like kind of inquisitory, like what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just casting him in a bad light.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I was like, who just lets himself into a house without knocking? But he took his hat off. So, you know, at least he's being respectful.
Yeah. Respect.
Yeah, what the hell?
Like, he didn't even knock once.
Mm-mm. Just went right on in.
I said I love that Sam just goes to the motel and just yells, Arbogast, and then just leaves.
Yeah.
He's not here.
Yeah, like
so
he didn't
hard.
Look around, like, literally at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, him falling.
I love the camera shot following him down the stairs.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. For the time?
Wait, I fucking hate it.
It's so terrible.
It's so
I like it for the time.
Oh, I hate it.
It's just like he's not even like tumbling down the stairs. He's just the stairs are behind him and he's falling.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of in The Exorcist when she attacks the therapist and he just like kind of falls backward.
Yes.
I don't know. It just gave me like similar kind of vibes, so I kind of liked it.
Do you know how they filmed it?
I do have a fact. Would you guys like to hear?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay. Filming the murder of Arbogast proved problematic owing to the overhead camera angle necessary to hide from the film's twist. A camera track constructed on pulleys alongside the stairway together with a chair-like device had to be constructed and thoroughly tested over a period of weeks. So pulleys and a chair.
Wow. Weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I mean,
you're crazy, girl.
Yeah, I just, maybe it's his acting mostly that
I mean
I hated for that part.
Yeah. I mean it is terrible. It doesn't look realistic. It doesn't look realistic, but I love it. I like how they did it. And it just I don't know. I like it for the time.
Yeah, for sure.
I like it.
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the stab on his head.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
ouchy.
Ouch.
I love when they get to the sheriff's house because it's so stupid that I don't know. He just seems so pointless. And then they set the sheriff is like talking about the story or whatever. And Sam is like, I don't know where to start except for maybe the beginning. Fucking.
Okay.
Like, isn't that where we would always
start?
That's
usually where you start.
Where you begin.
The beginning is the start. Yes.
It's a very good place to start.
Mm-hmm. I just said the cops are literally useless in every single one of these movies. They are just completely useless. What the fuck? Like,
and his eyebrows.
He's a crotchety old dude. Like, he's just like.
That's why I said. I said he's grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love though the iconic twist that
the plot twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Space no one
dead for 10 years. Oh.
Yeah.
I like it too when they first are telling them what's going on. And they say something about Arbogast is going to go talk to his mother. And his wife kind of looks at the sheriff like,
what?
Mother.
She did.
Uh-huh.
Just very subtle, but it's enough to be like, oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. And then the score right after, it's not exactly like, dun, dun, dun. But it like has that same vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
The vibe.
I love that then it kind of twists the movie not just from horror but like to mystery,
right?
Also, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah,
because then they keep playing into this twist. Because right after that, you hear Norman talking to his mother and see him carry her out of the room and go downstairs. Yes. You're like, what the fuck?
Who the fuck
like,
is
who
it?
Who is that then?
Who is that?
It's so good.
It's so good.
Also, when Sam gets back, or at first, before he even leaves, and Lila's been like, it's been 3 hours, you know, we should go. I'm going to go up there.
Yeah. And
Sam's just like, no, you're going to stay here.
She's
no.
Like, the fuck I am, dude.
That's my sister. Bitch. She's dead.
Yeah.
And like, I'm worried.
And he called when we had no information, and now he's not calling about anything. Like, that's weird.
Right. Like, she's being smart, and he's just like, no, it's fine. I'll go check
on it.
That's
per usual.
Because we're women and we're just crazy.
His voice when he speaks as the mother is so creepy to me.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Super Do we creepy. Know if that's Anthony Perkins or did they use a woman for the it mother's
is,
voice?
It is not him.
Okay.
I read that they had like 3 different actresses.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just kind of like mixed them up.
Yeah.
Well, it's creepy.
Uber yeah, creepy. Definitely.
Uber
Can you creepy. Imagine if Anthony Perkins was able to make those voices
right?
So
that would be impressive.
Eek.
And he's just so unhelpful. I'm like, sounds like she ran away. I'm like, no.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And I mean, it kind of does, but that doesn't mean you still shouldn't investigate and make sure she's okay after the private investigator who then pretty much found her is now missing as well.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Sam, Lila, the detective, and his wife are at church. He says a detective of his went looking around the motel and his house and found nothing except that Marion used a fake name to check in. Lila still wants to go to the motel and check it out. Lila and Sam are now at the motel. She sees Norman up at the house. Norman checks them in. Sam says he wants to sign in on the guest book, but Norman refuses at first. They go to the room that Marion stayed in, room 1. Looking through the room, they see that there is no shower curtain. Lila finds a piece of paper with math on it, just proving that Marion was in the room. Lila and Sam devise a plan. Sam is going to distract Norman and Lila is going to talk to the mother. Sam is grilling Norman, asking him how he deals with being so alone and so quiet. Inside the house, Lila is searching for Mrs. Bates. Everything seems sus to Lila as she makes her way through the house. Sam is still interrogating Norman about the money and Marion. Norman realizes Lila is in the house struggling with Sam. He is able to get inside. Norman runs upstairs and Lila goes to the basement. In a room, Lila finds Mrs. Bates. She is very clearly dead. Norman walks in dressed as a woman. Sam runs in, saving the day. In a very dramatic struggle, he gets the knife away from a frozen Norman.
I accidentally forgot a note about the last scene really quick.
Mm, okay.
when Norman goes upstairs to get his mom, his butt is wiggling.
His butt, the way he walks yes. up the stairs is so funny.
It's so funny. Cute. It's cute.
He's like, oop,
oop. Going up the stairs.
When the scene like starts, there's like a pause with Norman and then he starts moving. It's like they've said, okay, action. And then like, it's just really funny to me because that's the only like sort of hiccup in everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
How funny.
He's like, I suppose you want a rum. Like, he doesn't say room. He says rum.
I said I love the tension between Sam and Norman. It yes. is so mm-hmm. perfect.
Could cut that shit with a knife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he knows exactly what to be doing. He says, yeah, I'm mm-hmm. on a business trip and I need a receipt and I should mm-hmm. sign the guest book.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When they go into the room and he notices that there's no shower curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, ooh. He very knows.
Observant.
Yeah.
He knows.
But I thought it was a little bit cheesy that Lila finds the little piece of paper that happens to say $40,000 on it.
Yeah.
No,
that's we the one piece that whole that, ass room.
I know.
Yeah, like, it's the one piece that didn't make it into the toilet. Okay.
The toilet.
The toilet.
Does anyone else hate it that they go to church with the sheriff and his wife?
I know.
Like, what is this? Yeah. Although that scene,
a little American family,
the way it's shot yeah. kind of reminded me of the beginning of Rocky Horror, just with them coming out of the church.
Yes.
Oh. Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was just totally. Like,
you're going to church with this douchebag that didn't help you at all? What the fuck? Yeah.
Right.
Why?
Why? Like, he's Why? Literally useless.
Why? Useless.
Oh, the inside of the house is so beautiful.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love it.
One thing that's very irritating, same exact thing in the show. The inside is so beautiful and so like clean and put together. The outside is as if this house is 300 years old.
Right.
Like, right. Like they're not tending. Yeah, they're not tending to the outside at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving a little rinse off or nothing.
And like the, paint. The landscaping yeah. even too. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know, all it's dead. Just,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, California isn't very lush.
Right. It is a desert.
No. But at least not
some cacti.
Inland. I made some a note cacti. Of the mirrors across from each other when Lila freaks herself out in the mom's room.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That is not very good feng shui.
No.
It's actually a portal for Satan. So
mm-hmm. you're literally, you're bringing in all the bad juju with yeah. that right there.
Don't be doing that.
The decor in his mother's room.
Yes.
It's so gaudy. Like,
it's very Baroque.
Yeah. Baroque.
I like it.
Yes. Oh, you like it? Nope.
Do you know me at all?
Well,
this is a Baroque lady.
That's
I'm here fair. For it.
But like the
Baroque, like, as the, in no money.
The,
me too.
The cherub Same. Fucking statue, like right when you enter, and like the bronze hands. I'm like, what the fuck is this Kayla, shit?
Remember when we went to the flea market and there were those gold cherub things?
Yes.
I was like, I really want to get these, but I don't know where the fuck I'll put them. But I wanted to get them so bad.
Horrible.
They were amazing.
So bad. So are we to assume he still sleeps in that, like, nursery? Like, his childhood bedroom?
I don't know.
Because there's, like, the bed, and it's not made. Like, it looks like someone has been sleeping in it. And he has a record player in there. But then mm-hmm. also, like,
I could see that.
Stuff from his childhood. So I'm like, does he sleep in there still?
But then the mom's bed isn't made either, I don't think.
And there's like the indent of where a body yeah. was.
Mm-hmm. I thought he
so maybe
the body there.
Ugh.
In the show, he mm-hmm. sleeps in his mother's bed.
Oh, I do God. Remember that.
So I wonder if they interpret it that way.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
And maybe he sleeps in one depending on like
who he is,
which personality is taken over.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to know what that journal or diary that she picks up
yes.
read
yes.
or had in it, because she
Me
looked
too.
Like kind of like upset or like shocked by it.
Mm-hmm.
When Sam and Norman fight.
Oh my God.
It's wonderful.
He gets knocked
Norman's
in the head.
Face is just.
Oh no, before that.
Oh.
When they're in the parlor.
In the motel?
Yeah.
I know. Sam goes down so fast. I'm like, so fast. There's no way he hit you that hard.
Nah. Sam's a big guy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine viewing this for the first time in 1960?
Wild ride.
How cool.
What
How
a time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Huge twist. How would you even
a twist?
It's amazing.
It is.
Her scream is amazing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I noted that too.
I mean, we do love Janet Leigh. Mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I mean,
it's a great
Lila
scream.
Does a damn good job.
She does. Yeah.
And the way that the mom looks too. Oh mm-hmm. God. With Eek. The hair still.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. And how the eye sockets are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and the teeth.
This is the scene that I remembered the most because I watched it. It was on Halloween. It was whatever year our dad was dressed up as Jack Sparrow.
Oh,
I remember that. I remember that much. Do you remember?
Jeez. That was
and
like,
I was staying.
2003, maybe?
Forever ago. But I was staying at Grandma Bonnie's house again, and we were watching Psycho. And this is that scene was like forever burned into my brain. Because
yep.
it's just creepy.
It's so
especially
creepy.
Especially as a little kid. But, ooh.
Yeah. And when he runs in, I mean, I knew what was going to happen. Yeah. But I was like, oh, my God. I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
At him running in like that.
Right? He looks maniacal.
I a little bit laughed.
Just because of the dress and stuff?
I giggled. Yeah.
I giggled during the fighting. But
mm-hmm. The fight
mm-hmm.
gets me every time.
I said when he runs in with the wig on, it's sending me like good shit.
When we were watching this and they show her face and like she has all of her teeth still, it got me thinking about skulls and how typically in movies and whatever they're portrayed with all their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know how accurate that really is, because if you mm-hmm. think about our teeth, our mm-hmm. gums are kind of what keep them in our face. I know that they're bone and they're connected to our
jaw. Yeah, but they're not
jaw.
Connected to our bone.
They're connected,
they connected
by
to the jaw?
They're connected by a root.
So,
which, yeah. So they would fall out.
Right. So wouldn't they fall out?
Yeah, they would fall out.
So shouldn't skulls
I'll Google.
Not have teeth?
I would think they would not
have
teeth.
Because some don't. Like, if you look at really old skulls, some will still be in and some are gone.
Right. But just, like, because think about how easily you can just lose a tooth. Anyways. You know, bad dental health, getting
right.
punched the wrong way, falling. So it's like, after a while, right. wouldn't a skull lose all of its teeth?
A person's teeth are the most durable part of the body after death. Even with ancient skeletons, many of the remains still have teeth intact.
Oh. Interesting.
How?
Right.
I'm like fascinated now. That makes actually Same. No fucking sense.
I felt
yeah.
it was like a light bulb. I was like, how have I never fucking thought
never
about
thought
the teeth
about
before?
It. Yeah.
yeah.
Dead or dying nerves in the pulp can lead to a dead tooth. This is about dead teeth, mm-hmm. not
skeletons.
Dead bodies. Where do teeth go when you die? Huh. Teeth decay easily in life, but once death occurs, it stops.
Oh.
The bacteria that causes dental decay cannot survive after death.
Oh.
So whatever dissolves your roots, whatever.
Right.
It would just stop.
So then your root is intact still, so the teeth are going to stay in.
Okay. Yes.
Interesting.
Thank wow. you. Because kind of I was just like, is this fucking accurate? Has my whole life been a lie?
Wow.
I mean, that's just like
Please
with
keep
a quick
this
Google.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
science
just a quick
for
Google. But
science for gore girls. We do this again.
Anatomy. Physics, anatomy, biology.
Biology, mm-hmm. all of
Electricity.
It.
Electricity.
Yes.
We need some earth science thrown in there. Can we talk about the earth?
I know we
crust?
Do. Got to learn about the tectonic plates.
Well, the descent, we should have talked about that a little bit.
Oh, we should have.
Really?
Yeah. Missed opportunity.
Well, we did.
We'll
bit.
Get you next time. We'll
we
get
did,
you next time.
Because you can't be yelling in those caves.
Can't be yelling
not.
In those caves.
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Keep You're doing
welcome,
that.
Guys. We're like the yeah. next
the
Bill
Earth
Nye.
Shifts. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I love Bill Nye.
Boom.
Boom. Gore Nye.
Boom.
Bill Nye. That sounds good. So good.
Those are the best days in class when you got to watch Bill Nye.
Literally because our teachers were probably just either hungover or sick of our shit or lazy. They're like, okay. he's gonna teach you for today. Watch the fucking TV. I'm gonna go nap in the dark.
Magic School Bus.
Yes.
We got to watch Mythbusters a couple times in science.
Nice.
And the one that I remember the most is where they were debunking whether or not if you drop a penny off of the Empire State Building and it hits you in the head, if it would kill you.
Oh yeah.
And I remember that episode so clearly. Yeah. And
is it true or no?
It would not kill you, but it would hurt real, real bad. It would definitely crack your skull open.
Not the velocity.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just a penny.
Wow.
That's all I had. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm the next.
At the police station, a detective states that Norman is no longer himself and that he exists only as his mother. He says that Norman / mother killed Marion, the detective, and possibly two missing girls. Saying that he commits these crimes as his mother, both mentally and physically, one cop suggests he is a transvestite, but the doctor suggests it is much more than that. Norman is in his cell. We hear Mother's voice essentially telling Norman to show the officer how nice he is and that there's no way that he could have committed these crimes. Pulling the car out of the swamp, with the words, "The end," and the movie is over.
He only half existed to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Some of the things that he said were like good, but I was a little bit like, okay, end it.
Get on with it. This is the one part in the movie I was like, holy fucking shit. This dude just keeps on going. He just keeps on fucking talking.
I liked it.
I mean, I liked it, but I mean, Mackenzie came into my room right when this scene started and I saw that I had 6 minutes left and it was the longest 6 minutes of my life. I was like, God damn it.
I just felt like we got the point and he didn't need to keep going. Like, we understand what you're saying. You don't have to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because, too, it is 2022 and we understand a little bit more what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1960, maybe they needed a little bit more explanation. But either way, I was over it.
I do like how he explains why he killed Marion. You know, because you watch this whole thing wondering, like, why the fuck did he kill her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when he talks about how if he felt any strong attraction to another woman, then, you know, mother would take over. Mm-hmm. I like it.
And it makes sense.
And with the taxidermy chemicals.
Yeah.
Treating her body. I was like, yes. Yeah.
It's so creepy.
I like how they have it all tie in and everything has a purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's like Edmund Kemper meets Jeffrey Dahmer meets I don't even know what, but there's like little speckles of a bunch of shit in here.
Mm-hmm.
And creeps me out.
The iconic
He's
shot.
He's just a sweet transvestite.
Transsexual. But that iconic creepy ass smile when he just kind of like looks up at the camera.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
And I love it because it's now mother putting him away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's like, just okay, her thoughts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why, she wouldn't even hurt a fly. Ooh.
So good.
So creepy.
I love it.
I love it too. It's good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the movie, guys.
Isn't it?
There it is. Oh, yeah. So good. I love it.
I wonder what episode that started.
I don't know that it was. I don't think it was Scream. Maybe it was Texas Chainsaw.
It was one of the first couple, though.
Yeah.
Like, it started pretty early on.
A long time, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It'd be fun to go back and see.
It would.
So, like, zero?
The gore is 10, right?
I would, like, half. Half. I'd give a 0.5.
Like 0.5?
Like a 0.1?
Point two five.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I can do that.
For the 0.25 milliliters of
chocolate syrup liquid. That they used.
Chunky blood.
I'm here for it.
The clot. Yeah.
Ew.
I hate that word. Clot.
I don't like it.
Curdle, clot, chunky.
Curdle.
Those are all words that sound like exactly what they are.
Yes.
And exactly. Yes. Well.
Yep. Milk.
Hot, fresh milk.
Hot, fresh milk.
Fresh milk.
Ew.
Well, Does this movie scare you all?
No.
No.
No, but it's
creepy.
The idea of a man or human doing this is very creepy.
Yeah. 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 The realism behind it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can agree. But no,
it's just, it's entertaining. It's a good one.
It is entertaining. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you liked it, Elaine.
I did. I liked it a lot. And it's long, but it doesn't.
Doesn't feel super long.
Mm-mm. Long.
Yeah. Creature felt longer. Creature when it was shorter. Minus,
yeah. Felt way longer.
It did.
Yeah. I agree.
Nice. Oh, we're all on the same page, it seems like, with this one.
I picked another black and white movie, you guys.
You did.
Yeah, I liked this one.
I'm looking forward to whatever more. One is next.
It'll probably be Birds.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Birds. I love Birds. I've never seen that movie either.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, my God. You, Elaine, I have so many fun facts about that movie. Because that's also one of my favorites.
Well... Shall we do our fun facts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grace. History.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone saw my Instagram post of a fucking aha moment I had.
Oh, yes. But
the boyfriend, Sam Loomis, also same name in motherfucking Halloween.
Motherfucking Halloween.
So I did a little fucking googly search, and there is a fun fan theory that potentially Sam Loomis in Halloween is Sam Loomis in this.
Oh, I like that.
And that's why he's like intrigued by murder.
Yep, that's not even a theory. It is. We decided it's right here. It is.
We decided that is, what that it is actually just what it is.
Yep. So, case closed.
I love that.
Anyway,
yes.
I thought that was crazy. I can link the fucking link in the show notes.
Link the fucking link?
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so this movie was made in 1960 by Alfred Hitchcock. Did you guys know that?
Oh, I didn't know
I
that.
I have no idea. Who's he?
Yeah. I don't know. A small name. Stomping guy. Okay, a screenplay by Joseph Stefano. Stefano?
Okay.
Oh, I like Stefano. That sure. Sounds exciting.
Like Stefani.
Right. Based on the book Psycho by Robert Locke. So, this movie is based off of a novel with the same name. The idea that a man next door to you could be a monster.
Mm.
He was nearly done with the entire story, but about 30 miles away from where he lived, Ed Gein was arrested.
Oh, shit.
He changed very few details, but was very shocked at by how closely his fictional character, Norman, and Gein were.
Wow.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's,
when you were like, it's like
crazy.
Ted Bundy and Ed Kemper. And I was like, ooh.
Yep. And actually, I totally misspoke earlier. I did not mean Edmund Kemper, like the co-ed killer. I meant Ed Gein with like the nipple Gein. Belt bullshit.
Okay, yep.
I meant Ed Gein, not Ed
and
Kemper.
Skin lamps.
His skin lamps.
Oh.
And purses and shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that crazy, though? He that had wrote this
nuts.
In that book.
Before he knew.
That book before he even knew.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Robert Block. I'm assuming I'm saying his last name right. It's B-L-O-C-H.
I believe Block.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Block didn't, because names don't fucking follow the English language.
Yes.
They do not.
Block didn't know until years after his arrest how close Gein was to his mother. Like, he had no idea until like 10 years later or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's just.
That is wild.
That's so weird.
And upsetting.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock's assistant, Peggy Robertson, had read reviews of this book, brought it to Alfred Hitchcock's attention, and was like, you should make a movie.
Wow.
Wanting to keep the book a secret until the movie was released, Alfred bought all copies of the books and the rights for it for $9,500.
That is not a lot of money. I mean, I guess no. That was way more back then, but still, it's not a lot.
Right. Yeah, he bought it all so that no one would read it and, like, spoil the movie.
I love
wow.
that.
I will now read a few differences between the book and the movie. Okay. In the book, Norman is described as middle-aged, overweight, and overtly unstable.
I mean,
oh,
he is that, but not middle-aged or
no,
not the others. Yeah.
In the book, Norman has a drinking problem, and when he is drunk, that's when he becomes his mother.
Interesting.
In the book, Norman is into pornography and the occult, but Stefano did not think that that was necessary.
No.
I don't think it was either.
Mm-mm. I don't think it was either. Alfred and Stefano liked the idea of delaying introducing Norman and starting with Marion's story, but her story in the book is very short and she's only in it for 2 chapters.
Oh.
I mean, well, it's...
Yeah.
Kind of brief. Like there's still an hour after her death, even in the movie. So
right. Yeah. So if you think of that in terms of like a book, it's like, yeah, 2 chapters.
Yeah.
When Lila is looking through Marion's room after she is missing, she finds a book in her room full of pathological pornography.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know what does that mean? Is. I don't know, and I was afraid to Google it.
Pathological pornography.
Mm-hmm. Are like you Googling it now?
I can. Would you like me to?
Oh, you don't have to. No. I was afraid.
Okay, let's see.
That's like when I Googled hardcore old men.
Yeah, that was wrong.
That was, I just wasn't thinking, and I was scarred forever, so.
But it seems like, like problematic use of porn, like an addiction. I see.
Oh. But
I'm not really sure. That's pretty much all that's coming up is.
That makes sense.
Pathological pornography, right? That's what I was supposed to be Googling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it said. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of sounds, because like pathology is like a study of something, right?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of. Anyway.
I mean, maybe that would make sense then because Norman has an addiction to pornography.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The main character in the book, her name is Mary Crane, but that is a real woman who lived in Phoenix. So they changed her name to Marion.
Oh, funny.
In the shower scene, Marion is beheaded.
Oh, shit.
That would have been
cool to see. They thought that was a little too much.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Same, but I understand it's 1960.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a love interest between Lila and Sam, but Alfred and Stefano wanted the audience to focus on the mystery, not a love story.
Yeah. And that would also love. Be rude.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So.
And then I wrote, fun fact, toilets were not shown in U.S. cinema until 1960s.
That's so weird
to me.
I know. So Roger Ebert gave this 4 stars, which is not,
surprising.
Yeah.
No.
His only critique is that he wishes the doctor at the end of the movie didn't go on forever.
Oh,
he wishes that he just said Norman Bates no longer exists. He only half exists to begin with. Only half existed to begin with. And the other half has taken over probably for all time now. And then we just see Norman wrapped in a blanket.
Mm.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess I'm the only one that didn't mind it.
He said what makes Psycho immortal is the real fears. The fears that we might impulsively commit a crime and the fear that we might be the victim of a madman. And of course, our fears of disappointing our mothers.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
That was deep. Yeah.
I don't know I fear that I would commit a crime. I think
it's just like we would have no idea that we're doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, like that you're shut, blackout, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Because like you just said, you are afraid the police are coming. You're like, what the fuck? What if I committed a crime? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Anyway.
Nice. Cool. Thank you, Grace.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Elaine.
Hello.
Behind the scenes.
That's me. Okay. So this film was shot in black and white because Alfred Hitchcock believed it would be too gory in color. And he also wanted to make the movie as inexpensive as possible because he paid for the film out of pocket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
In exchange for 60% ownership of the film.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
good for him.
His budget was about $800,000. And at domestic box offices, it made $32 million. So
wow. He made a lot of money. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. Also considered for the role of Marion, there are some names that we know. We got Lee Remick, The Omen.
Oh.
The mom.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. Yep. I can see it.
And Piper Laurie, Mama and Carrie.
Yep. Mm.
But that was funny. There's a bunch of others, but I don't even know who they are, so it's fine. When Norman spies on Marion as she's getting ready to shower, the painting that he removes from the wall is titled Susanna and the Elders, in which a young woman is unknowingly being watched as she bathes.
Oh. That's creepy.
I love that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anthony Perkins was not present during the shooting of this shower scene. A stand-in played mother while Perkins was rehearsing a Broadway show in New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
Lila Crane was the first final girl in the slasher genre. Love that for her.
Hell yeah.
Hats off to her.
To mislead moviegoers and reporters about Mrs. Bates' true identity, Hitchcock leaked stories that he was considering stars such as Helen Hayes and Judith Anderson for the part. He even kept a chair on set with Mrs. Bates marked on it to keep up the ruse.
Oh my gosh. I like that.
Unfortunately, cool. Despite his efforts, Variety and The Hollywood Reporter both published very thorough spoilers regarding the plot months before the film came out.
Assholes.
Which I'm like, how did they even know? Like, did they read the book?
Yeah.
The ending involves a superimposition of three elements that many people fail to notice. It's the last shot of Norman's face, and then it's like a still frame, and his mother's skull is where his smile comes from. It's not his teeth, that's mother's. And then it goes into them pulling Marion's car out of the swamp. But the rope that, or whatever, the chain that they're using kind of makes it look like it's moving through them, the rope, insinuating that they are tied together, tethered together.
Oh, that's really cool.
Okay. Yes.
What other movie is that where it's like you see the face and it's like a skull?
I'm not thinking of Skull, but I'm thinking The Exorcist, where they kind of mesh Reagan's face with
Pazuzu.
The demon
Pazuzu.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like almost kind of in the mind?
Are you thinking of The Thinner? Stephen King movie?
I'm going to have to Google that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
At some point in my life.
The official trailer for this movie was over 6 minutes and 30 seconds long.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
That's a really long trailer.
They give away the whole thing.
Yeah, they'd be doing that, don't they? And the trailer was shot after the movie was completed. And because Janet Leigh wasn't available anymore, Hitchcock used Vera Miles for the shower sequence in the trailer.
Weird that that woman's name is Vera.
Yeah, how funny.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How funny. This is my favorite fact. Every theater that screened this movie had a cardboard cutout of Alfred Hitchcock pointing to his wristwatch with a note saying, "The manager of this theater has been instructed at the risk of his life not to admit to the theater any persons after the picture starts. Any spurious attempts to enter by side doors, fire escapes, or ventilating shafts will be met by force. The entire objective of this extraordinary policy, of course, is to help you enjoy Psycho more."
Oh, I love that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I love him. He's so great.
I know. He is great. And sorry, that's how it should be. Continuity, folks. It's important.
Yes.
I ain't no positive movie for you.
Right. Mm-mm.
We're watching a movie. After the movie's released, Hitchcock received an angry letter from the father of a girl who refused to have a bath after seeing Diabolique, 1955, and now refused to shower after seeing this movie. Hitchcock sent a note back simply saying, "Send her to the dry cleaners."
That's fucking awesome.
I love
He's like, "Hey, not my fault."
Yeah. And then I don't know where this was filmed, but The Bates House, though moved from its original location, don't know where it is, still resides on the Universal lot. The motel has been replicated. It is a regular stop on the Universal Studios tram tour, which I've been on.
Oh, how fun. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. So
yeah.
I bet.
Oh, it's really fun. The film was given an R rating by the MPAA in 1984. Yes, a film released in 1960 is now rated R. The MPAA wasn't created until 1968, but apparently they like to go back and re-rate older films. From
interesting. So did it was just not have a rating then when it came out?
Unsure.
It was just...
I'm not sure.
Mm. Interesting.
And then this marked the fifth and the final time that Hitchcock would earn an Oscar nomination for Best Director, and he never won.
That's...
Whoa.
That's just...
He never won criminal. An Oscar?
Mm-mm, not for Best Director.
Oh my God.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The end.
Wow.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Love it.
Cool shit. I like it. Thank you. Alrighty. Kayla. Soundtrack score and ratings.
Sorry. Of course I had to yawn.
Oh, you're good.
All right. So, the score was composed by Bernard Herrmann. He's very well known, one of the greatest composers. He's worked with Orson Welles, did Citizen Kane and War of the Worlds, did a couple other of Hitchcock movies, North by Northwest and Vertigo. And then Taxi Driver was actually his last movie. He finished composing that like a month before he passed away.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
It is. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's Robert De Niro's a weird dude.
Yeah. The orchestra that he used, he did only string instruments. No woodwinds, no brass, no piano, just string.
Nice.
A lot of interviews with him and like other movie critics and composers say that he essentially saved the film. Hitchcock was expressing concerns about the success of the film, and he had thoughts about like chopping it up and releasing it as like a TV movie. And Herrmann convinced him, because they were shooting this over Christmas, to let him take the film home over the like holiday and score it, edit it into the film, and then show Hitchcock. So he did that. And initially, he didn't want any music during the shower scene. He just wanted the sounds of Marion screaming and the knife being used.
Oh.
And Herrmann decided to score it anyways. So then when he played it for Hitchcock, Hitchcock was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, we're leaving it in. And he was like, but you said no music. And he was like, it was a bad suggestion. Like, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
Bring music.
Can you imagine?
That's up to Herrmann. That's amazing.
Right.
I know.
That scene without music.
Oh, right?
It's so weird.
And like we were talking about, like that's what people, one of the main things that people equate Psycho with is the score.
And it changed horror movies forever.
Forever.
That, like using that score in,
right.
It really did. Wow.
So then after hearing how he composed this, he doubled Herman's salary.
Oh, wow.
Heck yeah, as he should.
Yeah. And he gives a lot of credit to the success of the movie too.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then the ratings got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 97% on Metacritic.
Wow.
What?
Holy shit.
I think that's our highest.
Yeah. That is by far our highest. Oh my God.
And
so crazy.
4.6 out of 5 stars for an audience rating.
Not so crazy. Nice. I mean, we all agree that it's fantastic.
It is.
But for Metacritic, wow.
Right.
Okay.
And then also, the movie I'm thinking of is Young Frankenstein with a skull over his face.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Lorelai.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. So, this movie was shot at Review Studios, which is like a part of Universal Studios. It's just like a little separate for some reason. I don't know. They shot it with 50 millimeter lenses on 35 millimeter cameras. And this made the angle like the point of view look more like human vision. So it helped us to like be more involved as the audience and kind of feel like peeping Toms a little bit. Like we're peeping into their life and like what's happening. Which is kind of cool. The look of the Bates house was modeled on Edward Hopper's painting, The House by the Railroad. It has just like a very fancy Victorian home. And it's at the, I think it's the Museum of Modern Art in New York. So I'll definitely post a picture of it. Apparently, like the landscape around the house and like the house itself is like spot on to the painting. So,
Pretty cool.
I did find a kind of fun thing. It's not really related to special effects or anything like that, but I thought it was cool. Reflections in movies are often used to imply schizophrenia, but in this movie, everyone except Norman Bates is seen in a mirror.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. Huh. And kind of, I like knowing that now because I want to like kind of watch out for in other movies, but and then according to Janet Leigh, the wardrobe worn by Marion wasn't custom made. They just purchased it from a clothing store because Hitchcock. Because Hitchcock wanted like the female viewers to identify with the character by like wearing more ordinary
stuff that they would find.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah, kind of cool.
That's awesome. Kind of like Jamie Lee in Halloween.
She was just wearing her own clothes.
That's so cool.
I love that.
How cool.
Yeah, kind of cool. And then the guy who did the special effects, even though I couldn't find anything on special effects, and there aren't really a lot in the movie.
I was just going to say, there's not like a lot.
No, but his name is Clarence Champagne, and he also did The Birds and Trail of Robin Hood, and that's it.
Clarence Champagne.
Is that his real fucking name, dude?
According to IMDb.
That's wild.
Grandpa, my dad's dad's name is Clarence.
Reminds me of True Romance. King.
I love that. Yeah.
Quirly.
Yeah, that's all I got. Short and sweet.
Cute.
Very great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Alrighty. Well, do we have a patron shout out for the week?
No.
Oh, no. Fuckers.
Whatever, guys.
Well, we still love the patrons. We don't have any new ones, but we love all of you. Anyways, you're the best. We appreciate your support.
We do. And yes, there's lots of you, so go look at our Patreon.
Yeah, we have like some bonus videos. Fun shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to see our gorgeous faces
and cool stickers.
Stickers. I'm making more. I'm making more stickers. Yeah. I'm very excited about
more
it.
More to come.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Alrighty. Well, Grace, you can wrap us on up.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you didn't know, we have a Patreon. Go check it out on patreon.com/goregirls. Follow us on all social media. Goregirls. That's it. We're the only ones. And make sure you wear your sunscreen and your shoes and lock your doors, and drink your water, and have an appropriate relationship with your mother.
Yeah. And don't murder her.
Yeah, and don't steal $40,000 for, like, no fucking reason.
Yeah.
If she dies, don't dig up her body.
Yeah.
No. Just leave it where it is, okay?
Probably don't do that.
Don't stand in the shower and then turn the fucking water on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Definitely do not do that. No.
Definitely don't date divorced men.
Yeah. Ew, gross.
Better still paying alimony.
He's a divorced man, Kayla.
And don't be named Abergast.
Oh my God.
If that's your name, change it right now. Abergast? No. Terrible.
Sorry.
Crime.
Do worship crime. Janet Leigh.
Knock on people's doors before you enter their homes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. You can leave your hat on if you want to.
You can leave your hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
About the hat.
You can do that.
Respect is knocking on the door, not taking your hat off.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we love you all.
Bye.
Good night.